We are in record mode, and I don't know if anybody else is going to be on the call. I have a feeling that a lot of people are listening to the calls after the fact.
Okay.
So I kind of wanted to use this time as a review. Kind of just to, I think we did that last year, that we wanted to see, you know, using it as a gauge of where everybody was and to see how things are going. And, you know, it's primarily because we're on week 8, 2 more weeks left, and these are like the most, probably the most crucial parts of it because, you know, as you can see in the beginning, we had a bunch of people who actually were on the calls, and now time goes by.
Right.
Yeah, you know, participation starts to wane off a little bit. You know what I mean? And it could be, right? It could be for some good reasons, or maybe some not so good reasons. Some people may say, "Well, you know what? I got it down now, so I don't necessarily have to be on the call. I'll listen to it later. You know, I don't need as much because I'm sort of in the flow of the program." You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not true. Everything. I've always gotten something out of almost every call that you've done.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like, there's so much to learn with everything that's going on that you can never get enough information, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, well, that's you and me both. I definitely feel that way, that, you know, as much as I get an opportunity to study and to go over things, I'm often frustrated because I wish I had more time.
Right.
To do more things. Like right now I'm in a 16-week remote class. I'm at week 10, and I'm actually behind where my work needs to be, and it's primarily because I got this going on. I'm moving into the new space, so
right.
I got, you know, life happening.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And if nothing else, if nothing else, these calls reinforce everything that you've learned,
right?
And absorbed. And I don't know. I mean, it's been 2 years for me, and I keep getting something out of it. It might not be, I mean, the whole call might not give me something I don't know. But does
right.
even if you pick up a little tidbit here and there,
well,
it helps.
You know, since I have you on the line, it might be a good opportunity to have you share your experience for those people who haven't. I mean, again, as much as you're comfortable with, remember the call is being recorded, but as much
right.
as you're comfortable with, so that there may be someone who will be able to benefit from what your experience has been. I mean, your journey has been, you know, a pretty eventful one. And obviously, you know, your participation in the Slim Down has sort of given you enough reinforcement to carry you forward and probably had you do some things that you wouldn't have normally done. Like, you know, maybe you wouldn't have done the 5K before. Maybe you probably wouldn't have done the Spartan race. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
I would say you're 1,000% right with that.
Right, but you've gotten the opportunity to really go through some things and really make some dynamic changes. So what would you want to share with your experience regarding that?
Well, I think what people have to realize is, okay, I've been on diets almost my entire life. And while they may work for maybe a year or whatever, you always seem to fall back into your old habits, and then the weight comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I've learned through the Slim Down is that it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
And aside from changing the way you eat and what you do in your life, you have to change everything about it.
Yeah.
You have to figure out why you got to where you are. And, I mean, that takes some serious time and some serious effort on your part and saying, okay, this is where I am. This is where I want to be. But this is how I got to where I am now.
Right.
And you have to sit down and seriously think about if you really want to change it. And it's more than just changing the way you eat. It's changing your level of activity. It's changing the way you think about food. It's changing the way you think about yourself.
Mm.
And you have to have the confidence in yourself that you can change where you are today and get to where you want to be tomorrow. So basically, I would say what the Slim Down has given me is that it's taken somebody who had very little self-confidence and had a very low opinion of herself because of past experiences and given me the confidence to know that I can do things that I never thought I could. I might not be the best at it, I might not be the fastest at it, but I can still accomplish a goal for myself. I mean, I did the 5K yesterday. Yes, I finished last, but I finished in an hour.
Right.
And the last one we did, which was the one after the Spartan race, I finished in like an hour and 20 minutes, and that was all flat ground. This was a lot of hills.
I heard and that.
Yeah, and I'm sore today, but, you know, it's a good sore.
Right, it's a soreness that's symbolic of accomplishment.
Right, exactly. It's like I didn't get sore because I tripped and fell over my own 2 feet when I went to get up off the couch after I finished eating and watching TV.
Right.
It's a sore that, hey, look what I did.
Well, there was one thing that I can definitely say for sure that was a cathartic experience for me. I mean, last year, which was so interesting because, you know, being in a leadership role in this whole process doesn't mean that I'm exempt from learning. As a matter of fact, I mean, I probably get as much benefit or even more benefit than the person who's getting great benefit from this whole process because it really gave me the opportunity to kind of see what was going on with other people, you know, potentially people that I would work with. Because whether it was the people I was going to be working with directly or they were symbolic of the people I had been working with and would be working with in the future, I got a chance to see people in a different capacity. And it really operated beyond what I thought was going to be possible because I didn't know whether this whole process was going to catch on with so many people. I really had no idea. But what was really, really interesting was to see so many people try things because, again, I had a whole list of aha moments. Like, the whole thing was like one big aha moment, but there was some, you know, particular ones that I recognized. And one of the aha moments was post-Slim Down when you said you were going to do the, when you were going to do the Spartan race.
Right.
And again, I pride myself in being, a dream maker, not a dream breaker. So I don't tell anybody anything that they say that they're going to do because in my life I've had many instances where people said, well, you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do it. What are you doing? You know, you're going to fail. And I've gone on to do those things and beyond anyway. So that's a philosophy that I carry forward. But with that in mind, the instance that I'm referring to is when we did the Spartan race and I saw you attempting to get over that wall.
Okay.
That was huge for me.
You think that's when you realized that I was really going to do it, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Because I knew all along that you didn't think I was going to do it.
Well, you know, I can't say that I didn't think you were going to do it. I just didn't know how. I personally couldn't see it for you. But I never discouraged you.
No,
what
not at all.
Basically, what I was saying is that if you're going to do it, we have to make sure that you get the opportunity to do it correctly. Like, for instance, when you were trying to carry the sandbag during the training.
Right.
And I said, well, look, and everyone came over to offer you assistance. I said, well, no, you have to carry it on your own. But if you can't carry it on your own, which means you're not ready to carry it. And that was the same kind of philosophy, that I didn't want anyone to go in there without being as prepared as possible. I followed the Vince Lombardi philosophy, which is, it's not the will to win that makes the difference, but the will to prepare to win that makes the difference.
Right.
And so,
I mean, I know that all that most of the time it was just so that I wouldn't get hurt.
Right.
And I know, I mean, I knew I was putting myself in a situation where I very well could get hurt, and, well, I did get hurt, but I still finished it. what you call it? It was interesting. I was going to finish it no matter what.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was hurt. My knee was killing me. I did it fairly early into the race.
Right.
And I didn't do all of the obstacles.
Right.
But, what you call it? At least I walked 8 miles in mud, if nothing else. And when you think about what I was doing a year prior to that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think that's why your situation stands for the possibility for so many people who are in the program who cannot see it for themselves. But just because you can't see it for yourself at some given period of time doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it the attempt, and give the attempt with the intent, that whatever you start, you're going to finish.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what, I mean, that's exactly what my mindset was. I decided I was going to do this, and I'm going to finish it. You know, like I said, I may not have done all of the obstacles and whatever, but if nothing else, I walked 8 miles in that.
Well, it was more than just walking 8 miles, because it was a mess of mud that you were walking.
Right.
Through.
Right. I could never have pictured myself doing that a year ago, a year and a half ago.
And for the people who are listening to this, and the recording, what we're basically talking about was in Slim Down 2011, Fredo Denton had encouraged me to participate in the Spartan Race. The Spartan Race is an 8-mile mud run that was taking place on Staten Island in September of 2011. So I got a team of people from the Slim Down and said, well, look, you know, I'm thinking about doing this run. And I had done the shorter one the year before, the 5K. I said, well, wouldn't it be cool if I got a group of people and we did it together? So we were taking some people who really hadn't done anything like this, many of them who went through the whole Slim Down process. Maybe many of them were past athletes who probably just gave that whole thing up. Some weren't. And said, well, look, you know, this would be a great way of creating a symbolic breakthrough. And it was a tremendous, tremendous experience, because, as a matter of fact, the Staten Island one was voted to be the most treacherous that they had all year, because it was just such a mess with the mud and the obstacles, and it was just a really, really big overcoming in order to do that. But I think people did it as to be symbolic of, if I can do this, then I have to take another look at what's possible for me in my life.
Exactly.
And so I'm assuming that's why you did it as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was, the training was fun for it. It was nice to hang out with people who had similar goals,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to achieve basically the same thing. I don't know if everybody wanted to do it for the same reason. I mean, I don't even know what my reason was behind doing it, other than I want to do something that everybody says is totally insane and prove to myself that I can do it. Because, I mean, like Mike kept telling me he knew I could do it. I had no idea I could do it. Fredo kept telling me I can do it. But I didn't have the confidence in myself that I could do it.
Right.
So I guess I had to take what people were telling me and prove to myself that I could do it, and that I wasn't the fat girl anymore. You know, it's weird, because I look at myself in pictures now, and I'm surrounded by other people in the pictures, and I look at these pictures, and I go, wow, I'm not the fat girl anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you this. There had to be some moment, And whether it was some conversation, like you said, Fredo spoke to you, some of the other people on the team spoke to you, I spoke to you, you were around a bunch of people. There had to be some pinnacle moment. Like the coaching part of this week was something I was going through last year, because the coaching is the same coaching video from last year.
Okay.
That and it's about facing your tiger. Where right around the same time that week last year, I was going through a big, big challenge. Like something just happened out of the clear blue, and I needed to do something about it. And it's because I was kind of neglectful and just refocused and about this issue. And Oprah says that usually when you have something that you neglect, you know you shouldn't, that you should take care of, that it first comes to you as a whisper, and then it starts tapping at you, and eventually it's like hitting you upside the head with a brick, and it becomes so big that you can no longer ignore it. Well, you know, that's where I was at that point in time last year, right in the midst of everything, and I basically had to stand up and face it. And I remember one of my courses that I took, there was a rite of passage tradition in India where kids had to go into the jungle, and in order for them to become men, they actually had to go and face a tiger. So that became the symbol of your crossing over into the next phase of your life. And so I could think about those moments, and in that time of facing my tiger, and even now I'm facing another tiger. We're always facing tigers, I'm sure, if you're trying to progress. But there had to be some kind of point where you said, I didn't have the confidence to do it, that all of a sudden it appeared. So what was your facing of the tiger? Can you recall what that moment was?
Well, I think the first time was actually at the Zumba event that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this for an hour. And Elaine started the class, and I was keeping up okay. And I got to the end of the class, and I was drenched from head to toe, but I felt so good afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I can do this. And I remember it because it was the day before my 54th birthday. And I'm like, I couldn't do this 5 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, I can do this.
So pretty much then the facing of the tiger wasn't even the class. The facing of the tiger was basically you deciding that I can't do this for an hour, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to try to do it anyway.
Right.
And then
right.
When you get in there, you found out that, you know what, there is a tiger, but I can still face it and overcome whatever it brings to me, whatever it presents to me.
Right. And I think that was the reason that I decided to do the Spartan race. It's because I really didn't think I could do it, and I had to prove to myself that I could, that I really have come as far as people have said I've come.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to prove it to myself that I could do it.
Got it. There's somebody else on the line. Do you want to introduce who you are?
I'm Lainey.
Okay. All right. I thought someone came on the line, so maybe they're being anonymous. That's fine.
I heard.
But so you decided you want to yes?
Hi, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute and I kept hitting the wrong button. This is Patty Ventrella.
Hey, Patty. How are you?
Hi, Patty.
So basically, what this call is about today is sort of like, the checkup in terms of how we're going and how things are moving forward. And we're conversing about overcoming the challenges. And so how these challenges show up in your life and how the utilization of exercise and taking control of that physical aspect of your life is actually assisting you up to this point in time, and how to stay encouraged, you know, through this process, because, you know, we're coming to the end, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of this portion of the sling down. Of course, there'll be other people who'll be moving into other things, whether they'll be involved with, you know, with coaching, or the group that will be extending past this, is that the thing to consider is that how have you utilized this time in order to overcome whatever challenges that you're facing, or have you had that experience yet?
I definitely have. I was feeling last week, this is Patty, I was feeling last week like I was just losing my motivation. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. And, you know, that's when I joined the boot camp. And then the following week, I felt like I was gaining and losing the same 2 pounds for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it was really frustrating. And mm-hmm. Your 97.3 speech really resonated with me, and I felt like I was at the crossroads of where I usually become a part of the 97.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved me past, and I want to be part of the 3, and I've never really broken it down and thought about it like that.
Right. Well, for those who are going to be listening to this in the recording, in the recorded version, basically it's basically one of the ways that I present my services to different people. I say that every year millions of people make the decision to lose weight. 97% of them fail. I work with the 3%. And the 3% are those people who make the decision that this is a lifestyle change, and that the weight that I'm dealing with at this point in time, or the lack of physical activity that I'm dealing with now, is a symptom. It's not really the problem, and that if I approach the problem, that I'll be able to resolve the symptoms as a result. Make sense?
Yeah. See, I think that's the whole thing, Tony, that people have to realize why they've gotten into the situation that they are in, and why they're in the shape that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said, I think one of the biggest things is that people have to realize that it's not a diet. This is for your life. This is your entire life. And you can't go through the 10 weeks of the slim down and say, wow, I lost this. And then the day after the slim down finale, go back to the way you were, because you're going
right.
to end up in the same position you were in. You have to
right.
realize these changes are for your life. And you can't go back. You go back, you're gonna end up where you were before.
Right. And that's a big transition, because you know what? One of the things that even with the book that I'm written and I'm finishing up right now, it's I'll give you the tagline of it. It's The Ultimate Guide. This is a subtitle. The Ultimate Guide to Transforming your Body and Your Life. Now, you would think with a situation like that, it's part fitness book, it's part motivation book, but you would think that it would be all about the best exercises to perform, and that it would be all about what's new in physical fitness, and, you know, how much you should walk, what kind of food you should eat in order to make the physical transformation. But I'm going to venture to say, and I haven't made an assessment of this, that the book is about 65% to 70% on mental fitness.
And I think that's where the key lies. Because if you're not, first of all, if you're not ready to make the change, you're not going to do it. You might do it for a week or two, but you're not going to make the lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I mean, I think, while, don't get me wrong, exercise is very important in the whole thing.
Right.
If you don't change the way you eat, the way you think about food,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to make any changes. You know, I got a lot out of taking the class that I took with you at CSI,
mm-hmm.
the nutrition class. That really changed. I told you, I had that aha moment.
Right.
When I was sitting there and going, you wouldn't put gas in a full tank of in a car that has a full tank. Why would you put food into your body when your body has everything it needs at that moment?
Right.
And I think that's the whole, I think that's where the thing lies, is that people have to get it in their head that this is where I am, this is where I want to go.
Right.
And if they don't do that, then it's not, no matter how much they exercise and work out and whatever, it's just not going to work. And
no,
I've been there and done that, so I know from experience.
Right. Right. I totally agree, because at some juncture, I guess maybe this is something that I kind of discovered early on in my career, because I didn't come to be a trainer just from the standpoint of exercise. I mean, I have a deep background in personal development. And so when I started looking at this whole process and saying that I wanted to do this as a career, it really came from another place, that exercise being a component
right.
of the process and not the solution in and of
right.
itself.
Right.
Remember that it is a component. It's a vital component, but it is simply a component and not the full solution. And that's one of the things that, you know, that I find really interesting. And again, not necessarily having been through, like, what's interesting, I had someone who asked me just not too long ago, said, well, have you ever had a weight problem? I said, well, I've gone through different levels of challenging my fitness, because I've always been a fitness person. That's just my personality.
Right.
And I found that, you know, maturity has made it it's a transition. So I've never lost, you know, 100 pounds. I had to lose 100 pounds. I had to lose 75 pounds. But the challenge is still the same, because from a physical standpoint, I kind of want to be the same where I was 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it's an interesting way of having to have some acceptance of the fact that things are going to be different, but I can still be smarter and more diligent to get the results that are best and most appropriate for where I am right now.
Right. The results are going to be different, but they could be just as radical.
Right, right. And I think that in a case like that, that the mindset that goes into it, the motivation that goes into it, the thought pattern that goes into it are transferable. And what I found with people who did the slim down last year, what I'm hearing this year as well, is that it's not that they're just losing weight, is that they're using it as a metaphor to change their lives. And so people are getting into new relationships. They're ending relationships that no longer serve them. They're making decisions to change careers. They may have had problems that they needed to address, but they found that using the new physicality and the confidence that they've discovered by doing things they wouldn't necessarily have done is allowing them to do other things.
Right. Exactly. And
so, go ahead.
No, and I think another thing that people have to be aware of is, you know me, I very rarely get on a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't weigh myself pound for pound. Because, first of all, you really can't do that, especially if you're working out, because a lot of the body fat is converted into muscle. So weight isn't so much... The number on the scale does not show how far you've come. When you can
right.
put on your pants and they fall down,
right?
What difference does it make what number is on the scale? And I think
right.
people rely on their scales a lot too much, very much. You know, like, I wouldn't even get on, I still very rarely get on the scale.
Right.
But I can feel a difference in the way, again, still, how my clothes fit. I'm constantly buying new clothes.
Right.
Not because I want to, but because they just don't fit anymore.
Well, that's a woman's rationale for having to shop, huh?
Right. That's a good excuse, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I can't tell you the feeling of elation when I was able to go into a store, a regular store, and pick up clothes off the rack.
Right.
My girlfriend that I was with that day, like, she's thin.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't understand what I the feeling that I had.
Right.
And I couldn't explain it to her because she's always been thin.
Right.
But it's such a great feeling.
And you know what I find interesting, too, is that I encourage my clients and everyone I work with to allow those moments to define you. Because too often, people utilize the scale as a barometer as to whether they're a failure or not.
Right. And I mean, I totally disagree with that. And it makes no sense because your body is changing. I mean, I showed you the picture of me doing Zumba last year and me doing Zumba this year.
Right.
And while my weight hasn't changed all that much, I mean, you could definitely see the difference in the way my body looks.
Oh, you look significantly different. Significantly different. And again, which is one of the reasons why, one of the things I say in the beginning, and then people want to celebrate their weight loss. I mean, there's some people, for whatever reason, you know, they have to get on the scale, and so we, you know, we announce it when they're doing this, and there's some people in Weight Watchers where they're part of their process, they're going to be weighed in every week anyway. But I believe that the key really is that not to allow that scale to define whether you are a success or not, because something to take into account is this, is that the scale is not a great indicator of your progress anyway.
Right.
It's in all essence, it's actually a very poor indicator of your progress. So allow those moments of joy and those moments, like you said, of elation and those moments of success to really try and truly define who you are. Because the fact of the matter that you are in process of making a change means that a change is being made already.
Right. I mean, I still have a long way to go, but I just can't believe how far I've come.
Right. And the whole thing is this. If you relied on the scale or you relied on other things that do not support your outcome, it makes it, and this is just a very practical way of looking at it, it makes it very difficult for you to continue. So I always say, give yourself a fighting chance. It's almost like saying, I'll give an example. One of the major challenges I had in my life was I went through a major motorcycle accident, and that's actually, there's a series of things that happened that led to me finding this service, this business, this career. And that motorcycle accident is a direct result of that. Long and short of it is that I probably should have been hurt a whole lot more than I was, but by grace of God, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I did suffer from a shoulder subluxation. So that shoulder bone that's in the socket was actually down in my rib cage. So it was pretty serious. So at that point in time, I'm, like, extremely vulnerable. I'm in the hospital. I got, you know, suffered a major concussion, and you know, I was just a mess. And so a doctor comes in, and I'm concerned about my shoulder. I'm a fitness guy. I want to know, you know, what's going to happen to me, you know, after I'm healed up from this thing. And the one doctor looks at me. He's got, not a smirk on his face, but a very, very straightforward, you know, non-empathetic look on his face, and his demeanor is suggestive of the same thing. And he says, well, once you have that problem, it's always going to happen. Once it comes out, you know, you're going to be dealing with that for the rest of your life. And I'm like, you know, broken up. My mom's in the hospital room with me, and then I'm trying my level best to get him out.
Right.
And I go to my mom. I said, I need another doctor. I said, I don't want to see that guy again. And I'm saying to myself, why would I want to work with someone who's already limiting my possibilities?
Right.
He's already telling me I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life, when my intention is what? My intention is that I'm going to heal up and
come
back better than I was before.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I relate that. So I found another doctor. Everything worked out well. I never had a subluxation again, and I do everything. So what I'm saying is this: I relate that to the scale. Like, the scale is such a disheartening indicator because of the fluctuations and all those different things that, you know, that can make it different. Why would you rely on it? It's almost like remaining with the doctor who says, well, your shoulder's never going to get better.
Right.
This is
you know, I mean, like, my entire life I heard, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And now I'm starting to hear from people, yeah, you can do that.
Right.
Tony?
Yes.
This is enlightening. I really had no idea all of my years of trying to lose weight. It's always been the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's why I end up where I end up, because I lose my motivation, because apparently it's a poor indicator. And, you know, once I turned 40, before that, it was always fine. I was always able to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that it was basically, I always thought it was me. And it's
So you're saying you were sort of what?
I said I always thought it was me. But, you know, when I work and I do, and you know, there are some weeks that I'll go off, but when I work and I do, and then I go to the scale and it doesn't tell me what I want to see, it is infuriating.
Sure.
But don't you find that your clothes are fitting differently?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that means that your body's changing.
Yes, and I know that, and I guess I have to change the way I view this.
Oh, get on
the
scale. Just really?
I'm personally am doing Weight Watchers.
Okay.
And I have to. So, you know.
Don't look. Don't look and tell me you don't want to know.
Right, and I've seen that too. An alternative that I had some people who were working with Weight Watchers who were saying, "Well, you know what? As a result, I know you have to do it for your record keeping, and I don't want to take you away from what you're supposed to do, but record it and don't tell me."
Right.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, it's a method that works. And this is something that you can think about, and take it into any aspect of your life. I remember when I used to be in sales, and I guess I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm always in sales now. But one of the things that they said was this: you start the year, the supervisors come in and they give you a sales goal. And my sales goals used to be ridiculous; they were just ridiculous, like, you know, bringing $6 million this year. And you look at that number, and it's so intimidating.
Yeah.
It's just really, because you say to yourself, okay, how am I going to do this? But then, you know, they sent you to training, and the training gives you a means of taking a look at what do you think of what's going to be the process for you. And the process is, we have a certain set of people we need you to call, right? We want you to call them. You're going to call them X amount of times. These are people who are qualified, and then you're going to make appointments. When you make appointments, the appointments are going to lead for you to see about doing the sales presentation, of which I've taught you. So you know what? It becomes an activity at that point. And the activity is, okay, every day you have to make, let's say, just throw another 30 calls. Of those 30 calls, if you've done everything correctly, you should be able to book about 7 appointments. Of those 7 appointments, you're going to be able to get 2 people to buy. And the normal buying is going to be X amount of dollars. If you do this activity, it'll lead into your success. So what do we want to focus on? We want to focus on the activity. And, of course, we want to stop and we want to gauge it as we go along. But we don't want to think about, wow, I got $6 million to bring, and I'm going to lament over the $6 million, and instead of making phone calls and appointments and sales, I'm still thinking about $6 million.
Right. You kind of become like a deer in the headlights.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know what meant, what number meant more to me than any number on the scale? Is at the Slim Down, I had Tony take my body, the BMI.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that I lost 30% body fat.
Oh, wow.
I came home and I checked it against my logs from LA Fitness, and I was correct. It was 30% body fat I've lost.
Right.
Wow.
That meant more to me than any number on the scale ever could.
Yeah, and see, and that's huge because that is the result of, I love the whole notion of being so involved with your activity that you end up not being concerned about the results because the results are manifest from the activity.
Right.
You know, it's like, again, I said this just the other day to, I was interviewing for the Advance. I said, okay, what are the keys to success in anything? That number one, knowing what you want. And the more precise you can get to what you want, the better off you're going to be, knowing precisely what you want. Then number two, finding a tested and proven means of how to get what you want. So find, because most of us are not trying to reinvent the wheel. For most of us who are trying to improve our health, improve our wellness, you know, millions of people have done it already. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We got to get engaged in something that has been proven to work. So find out what you want, find the tested and proven means of doing it, and then number three, big part of it, do it.
Right.
Right? And then number four, or 3B, if you would, is keep doing it until you get the results you're looking for.
And keep doing it until it becomes second nature, where you don't even have to think about what you're doing.
And that's what happens within the process. That's precisely right, is that if you get yourself immersed in the process that you know is going to be successful for you, then it becomes all about the completion of the process, and then the results come organically. They come naturally.
And then, therefore, the lifestyle change.
Exactly.
You've changed your life. You haven't just dieted. You know, I started this whole thing just because my doctor put me on medication to lower my sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated the way the medication felt, made me feel. I hated it. I was on it for 3 days. And I went to my doctor and I said, I don't want to take this.
Yeah.
Give me a chance to do it on my own. And I had a doctor that was willing to work with me, and she gave me the time that I needed to do it on my own.
Right.
And truthfully, I never thought this whole thing would change my entire life.
Yeah.
And it has. I mean, you saw when we went to the Zumba thing for diabetes.
Right.
I picked up that donut. What did I do with it? I took a bite out of it. I said, I really don't want this, and I threw it away.
Right.
And I've done that with other things a lot of times. Just think, why do I want this? I don't want it. Why did I take it? And it goes in the garbage.
Right. Right. And it's a big part of something that you can adopt, and a lot of it has to do with, and it's contradictory to where, you know, some parts of society want you to be. And the word I use is awareness.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you become aware. That's that is a symbolic and metaphorical aha moment.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden, I'm aware. It's like someone in some stage of your life, in some aspect you didn't even consider, took the patch off your eyes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the thing that seemed impossible or wasn't even present before becomes ever-present and possible.
Right. It's like, I don't want this. Why did I take it?
Right.
It's not going to give me comfort. It's not going to make me feel better afterwards. It's going to make me feel like crap after.
Right.
And
as compared to before, the response would be a knee-jerk reaction of, here it is, and I'm going to do with it what I always do. I unconsciously just eat it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to find any comfort in it. It's not going to make me feel better. Why did I take it?
Exactly.
I took it out of habit, but I threw it away because I've changed.
Right. Because I've changed. And that is the tried and true essence of transformation is that the physical transformation is simply the result of other aspects that you've taken control of because you've become aware of them. And then you start to do those things that are going to be best serving to what your desired outcome is. And then the desired outcome becomes the natural result of that whole process.
Tony, 9 weeks, no soda. No diet soda.
And I know that's something that you were challenged with.
Yes.
But you know what? And here's the thing that is interesting, too. You're able to accept that challenge now because it was transferable to doing the 5K, doing the Spartan race. And then rising to that challenge now enables you to do other things like 9 weeks without any diet soda.
Correct. And yesterday after the race, they had all soda out and whatever. I didn't even think about going for the soda. I went for the water.
Mm-hmm.
So the soda didn't even cross my mind.
Right. It's that consciousness and awareness, again, with clarity, that makes all these things possible.
Yep.
And that is huge. That is huge because that is, in truth, the essence of what this whole program is about. Utilizing those skills, and techniques to acquire those skills, and then being able to utilize them in your day-to-day life. And then the even biggest part of that is paying it forward.
Yep.
Is that as you pay it forward to other people, it becomes even more eminent for you.
Right. It's not only that, it's reinforcing to me that it reinforces that what I've done is correct and that I'm on the right path.
Right. Right. And to a certain extent. Go ahead.
By trying to give people little hints and things that have worked for me. You know, I might not be right at that all the time, but...
Right.
And it's worked for me. It might not work for you, but it worked for me. And, you know, hey, give it a try.
Well, you know, and I like that kind of response. Because one of the things that I'm battling with is that I'm hearing a lot of things like on TV shows where someone says, well, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I mean, I've taken into account a great deal of what that means. And I think in some cases it could come from being condescending, but I think in many places it comes from altruism, that the person feels that I was in such a bad place that if I can do it, anybody can. And that's not necessarily true. Because
That's not true because, first of all, A, you might not be able to do it at this point in time in your life, because you're not ready?
Right. Right.
I mean,
or you don't have the same kind of resources. You may not have the motivation.
Right.
You may not have the same kind of support. What it does is that it makes it possible.
Right. You know, like, that's why I said, like, I'll tell somebody, listen, I don't know if it'll work for you, but this is what worked for me. You might want to give it a try.
Exactly.
Because what works. What worked for me is not going to work for everybody. What works for somebody else is me.
Right.
And
one of the major reasons why I used to make, you know, mandates or statements, and now I feel a lot more comfortable making suggestions, like, or considerations. One of the things you could consider is ...
Right.
As compared to saying, well, all you have to do is ... Very different.
It is. I mean, because when people, you know, I'm the kind of person that if people keep harping on, and you know what I'm talking about, if people keep harping on me to do something, I'm going to push further away and say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'm the kind of person that I know when I'm ready to do something, and when I'm ready to do something, I will do it.
Right.
But until that point, The more you say and the more you try and force me to do it, the less I'm going to even want to think about doing it.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example, too. There was a woman who was in the beginning of the program who wanted to know what the fitness surprises were and was quite forceful in finding out what the fitness surprises were. And so when she asked me if I would tell her ahead of time, my response was absolutely not. And maybe I could have phrased it a little bit differently. And I mean, if I've got the opportunity to do it again, maybe I would have said, I would have justified to her or tried to justify to her why we don't do it that way. And I don't tell anybody what it is.
You know? You don't even tell us if we have to put on that.
And there's a reason for it, because I don't want people to come in with any preconceived notions or to say, well, I'm not going to come in because this is something I don't like.
If the first time you had Zumba, if you would have told us we had Zumba, I don't know if I would have showed up.
Right, exactly. So it's the intrigue, it's all of other things that help to bring people in to do things that they wouldn't necessarily do, and to introduce them to things. Like, there's some people who are doing things now, like you said, you wouldn't have necessarily done it had you known what it was in advance.
Right.
And she was very forceful, and you know, I knew what my position was going to be, and you know, she got a little indignant, you know, about when I refused to tell her what it was, and she tried to rationalize it by saying that she would get nothing out of being in the she got nothing out of one of the programs that she did, and you know, I didn't get insulted by it because I understand where it comes from. It's resistance,
right?
You know, it's resistance. And I also had to feel comfortable with the fact that I understand what's going on. And it's this. She
right.
simply isn't ready yet.
Right.
And
right.
so it's much easier to transplant that it's the fault of the guy running the program who won't tell me what it is, which is the reason why I'm not doing it, as compared to being open. When you're ready, you're going to allow yourself to be open to a whole lot of other things. But she wasn't ready to go there, so it was easy to say, well, if you're not going to tell me, I'm not coming anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's an excuse.
Yeah.
An excuse. And right. you want to make up excuses. You're not ready to change. So when you're ready to change, come back and see me.
Right, and that's the whole thing. But I've been able to do it now, you know, just having experience and maturity. Is to not falter for it, because I understand now. I understand where it comes. Before, it's like, how dare you insult me? And you know, that's really my ego. So I eliminate the ego out of the process and really simply just say, you know what? She's not ready.
Right.
Because if she was ready, she'd be saying, whatever it is that you have planned, if it's going to help me potentially to get to where I want to go to, count me in.
Right. Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Tony. I've learned something from every single fitness surprise, whether I thought that it was, you know, going to help me physically, you know, whether it was I was burning anything. I learned something from every single one.
Right.
And I am so happy that I've been able to make every single one, because for me there's always some kind of a lesson. And
right.
you guys were saying before about, you know, wanting to know. And I'm sorry, the woman caller, what is your name?
Lainey.
Hi, that's who I thought you were. I thought so. Lainey.
People recognize,
you know,
my mouth.
Yeah,
that's not
no,
a no, kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, you know, you said about Zumba the first time that they had Zumba that, you know, you wouldn't have gone. Let me tell you something. The first time you had boot camp, I would not have gone had I known. And yet I did it. I did it great. And now I go to boot camp, you know.
Right.
I can't always do the exercises right, but I go to boot camp. You know,
right.
and it's
but
that.
Instead of thinking of it that way, that you can't do the exercise right, it's think of it as, look, I did this.
No,
and
I totally
this is that
did.
Much more than I was doing before.
I'm very proud of every moment that I spend at boot camp. I'm just kidding, because Tony was, like, staring at me like, come on, you got to get this. You know, it wasn't, like, resonating. But anyway, I'm just surprised at what I have been able to accomplish from a fitness perspective at,
right.
you know, I'm going to use weight at 130 pounds overweight. I am surprised at myself. What I've been
mm-hmm.
able to do at this level.
Right.
So, you know, and it can only get better. You know, like I said yesterday, I was proud that I did the 5K walk in less than an hour. I did, my husband and I did it in 56 minutes. We did about an 18-minute mile. Guess what? I'm thrilled. I was thrilled with that, you know. And next year, hey, it can only get better.
Right.
And I was right behind you.
Right. Right.
Oh, you're the one who saw us going the wrong way?
Yes. Yes, that's me.
And so you use those things, those instances, as a means to define you.
Yes.
That's those overcomers, those overcoming moments. That's who you are. That's who you are. The potentiality of doing something that you wouldn't have normally thought that you could have, and the possibility of even doing more, not the number on the scale.
Right.
And that's the change, and that's what I feel that this slim down has taught me week by week. By week, it has taught me, and that's why yesterday I'm like, Tony, what's video? what pearls of wisdom are you gonna drop on us today? Because I so learn. I've made it a part of my routine that on Sunday I go on and I look for you, and I scream at the screen. Yes, you're right. You know, because you've become such a part of my process. What I'm gonna do after week 10, I do not know.
Watch the videos.
We're working on putting other possibilities together for that, you know, for that as well. Because I do understand, and I and tell you, I'm really humbled to hear, you know, stories like that. And, you know, part of the transformation for me last year, and it continues, is that there is such power in putting people together to do things, to accomplish things of like mind. And I thought it would be a cool thing when I first started it. And I said, you know, I think that people, once you get them together and we understand that we get support and we're all in this whole thing, because you don't know how, you know, how people are going to respond to it. I said, I think that we're going to be able to do something really, really special. And I'm finding it from, you know, from last year and definitely from this year too, is that there's something that happens, and I'm not quite sure what it is, to be honest with you, that kind of just permeates everything when people are together in that room. There is something that happens beyond the summation of the individuals.
Well, because you know what it is, Tony? Basically, you have people that are there for a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
And while they might not be able to do it by themselves, as a group, you can do it.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that you can't do on your own, but when you're with people that are working for a common goal, and you work on it together, then it's possible.
Right.
What I'm finding this year is an unbelievable amount of helpfulness from everyone who did the plan last year, or not everyone, but most. Everyone who did the plan last year, just such a willingness to help. And there are even especially more gracious people who are just grateful for the opportunities that they had last year and this year, who just are just overly wonderful and helpful.
Yeah.
I think this year there's a lot more support this year than there was last year.
Yeah.
I think last year a lot of people just basically stayed to themselves, and because nobody knew really what to expect.
Right.
I think this year we've gotten comfortable with what we've done and where we've gone in that year. And, yeah, we formed friendships among ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just now we also know how to pass what we learned on to other people.
Right, right. You needed the experience. You definitely needed the experience. And then also there's some people, I remember the first kickoff that was saying, so you're gonna tell me that this is free? There's no catch.
Right.
There's
right.
no catch. I said, and it was like, I said, okay, yeah, it is. It's free. Well, what's the catch? There is no catch.
Right.
I mean,
So why would you do this? Then my response was, why not?
Yeah. People don't understand when they get something for free, they always think that there's a catch because in life, most of the times, there is a catch.
Right. Waiting for the other shoe to drop, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, with the
so they're waiting for, like, when's the sales pitch coming? And we also told that, you know, that everyone who comes to do the fitness surprises, you are not allowed to solicit any other participants.
Right. And
not allowed. You can give them information. You can give them support.
Right.
You can speak to them, but no solicitation. Because we don't want anyone to start thinking that this is what it's all about. Now,
right.
Now, do people end up getting business as a result of it?
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the whole pay it forward, you know, process.
Right. But you know what? The people that get it deserve it.
Very good. Don't answer the door.
Exactly. And I say, is that the overall intention of it?
No. I don't think the people that came and got business out of it, I don't think that was their intention in volunteering to do it either. And I think that's what's important.
Right. Exactly. Those folks are understanding that it's just that doing good things is good business, period.
Right. And they're there to truly help.
Right.
When the physical therapy, was it one-on-one? When the physical therapy place came, I thought their exercise program was stellar. It was a beautiful program. I liked what they did. They had a lot of people monitoring. They represented themselves so professionally, and they even gave us giveaways. And I was very, very impressed. And when I am in the need for physical therapy, that will be one of the first places I look into.
No doubt. Exactly. And that's what it's all about. But in the meantime, their thought was, this is a good thing. We want to represent ourselves. We want to be a part of it. How can we be of assistance?
Right.
And I got to tell you, their ab workout with the bridge and marching while you're in the bridge, that was the best lower ab workout I think I've ever had.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that was really, really good.
Because I felt it but good the next day.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
really.
But listen here, ladies, we have hit our time schedule. We can probably talk about this stuff all night long. And but I'm glad I got the opportunity to speak to both of you. And even for the listeners who are listening to it and recording, I'm sure they're going to get the major benefit of seeing what this and hearing what this program is all about and what it's done for real people.
Yeah.
And opening up to the potentiality of all things being possible, and that it's not a miracle. It doesn't have to happen to someone else, that it does happen to you, and that there is support, and with support and a lot of work, that it can happen.
One thing I do want to say, I don't think I said this yet, I recognize with all the exercise that I'm doing, I cannot even believe, and I'm going back to the scale, but I can't believe how much I have to put in to actually lose a pound. And today I'm hearing, that's kind of where my mindset was, and today I'm hearing, well, maybe it's not representing what you're actually doing, the scale. And
right.
That's like, really? I don't,
right.
You know, I didn't know that.
Right.
So, I mean, I am seeing the inches come off, but not really as fast as it should if I'm not losing weight, you know? I don't know. But
That's the whole thing. It's not – your body's changing.
Yeah.
You're losing body fat and you're gaining muscle. And the pounds are not going to show that.
Is it true that muscle weighs more than fat?
What?
Well, not really. It's really a misnomer. What it is basically is that – muscle tissue is more dense than fat tissue. So if you relate it to saying that a softball, let's say a softball and a baseball weigh the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball takes up less space. Why? Because it's more dense.
Right.
So as you start to eliminate the less dense tissue, replace it with the more dense tissue, what you're going to find is that the structure may weigh the same, yet it takes on a different shape.
Okay.
You follow what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
If you're symbolically speaking, if your body is composed more of baseballs than softballs, it could weigh the same amount, yet the shape is different. Thus, you have a situation where the scale may not move as significantly as you want, but your clothes are fitting differently.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I didn't lose pound-wise. I'm not sure exactly what I lost, and I'm sure I lost. But I went from wearing a size 26-28, and I'm down to a 16-18 now.
God bless you. That's wonderful.
So, I mean, that's why I say you can't – don't go by the scale, because the scale will frustrate the hell out of you. Take it from one who knows, who's been there, and says, oh, I'm on the scale. I worked out 3 times this week, and I cut down my calories by blah, blah, blah. And look, I lost a pound.
Right.
I know in the past I would say, oh, why am I even bothering?
Yes. Yeah. That was where I was last week, the week before. Yep.
But now, that's why I stopped getting on the scale.
But I look
at my body, and I just say, I can't believe what I looked like last year versus this year.
Right.
Let alone what I looked like before I even started. Tony, you've seen the pictures.
Yep. That much is true. But we definitely have to bring this to an end, because, again, I know we can talk about this all night long, but we have to bring it to an end. So I want to thank both of you for being on and for sharing, because, like I said, you stand for all the other people who are going through the process and experiencing frustration. But, you know, we know that with a little bit of education and a whole lot of work that we can make things to be very, very different. All right, so with this, I'm going to end this presentation the way I end all of them by saying put your heart and soul in your goal and wishing you both good night.
And Tony, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for everything. Bye.
See you Wednesday.
Yes, see you Wednesday.